The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. Great episode this week. Love this fucking band. It is Atreyu. Brandon, the singer, now lead singer of Atreyu, comes on the show. Just a really cool dude. I got to tell you, from the moment he came on, I just knew this guy was awesome. If you're an Atreyu fan, you could have heard this 5 days earlier by subscribing at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR, get 20% off and get access to 20 other shows and our entire catalog. But now we're doing 20 episodes free everywhere, not just iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and YouTube as well. All we care about is you spreading the love of the SDR Show. Here it is right now, the Brandon Saller of Atreyu episode of the SDR Show. Peace!
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I've been, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back once again, and back again for... I don't know how many times now, but it's one of my unofficial co-hosts, James Madden. How are you, buddy? How you doing?
Yo, I like being unofficial. That sounds like it's more important.
You're pretty close. You're probably one of the most prevalent co-hosts. Shannon, our producer, Ani, is here as well. Very honored to have our guest in, well, not in studio, but now not in a silly black and white important style, but more in color. Brandon Saller from, obviously, Atreyu. Thank you so much, dude, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Before we get started, just a side note, Brandon, you weren't here because James and I interviewed Joe Manganiello. You know who that is? Joe Manganiello, famous actor, good-looking guy in ridiculous shape. And I feel that I've never addressed this since that episode because I wanted to wait for James to come on. He's my height. He's 6'5", but he's great-looking and in great shape, right? Mm-hmm. So my opening line to him was, hey, dude, from one heartthrob to another, welcome to the show. Right. And the weird thing about it was he just said, hey, thanks for having me. And that was it. So now does that mean he thinks that I think I'm a heartthrob or he thinks I'm crazy and didn't want to acknowledge it? I just found it very confusing. Your thought, Shannon.
I just think he doesn't think that you're funny. And I was just letting it go by. Now.
That's a very strong possibility. Brandon, you don't know me at all, Brandon. So your thoughts?
Here's what I'm thinking. Not only does he want think you're handsome enough to be like, okay, heartthrob, sure. But two, he also just agrees with the fact that he's one. So he's just like, yeah, we're all heartthrobs here, aren't we? You know?
All right. James, you have a separate take on this or no?
First of all, I love your take, sir. That's beautiful, that's optimistic, and great.
But, let me say this. Thank you, Brandon, and fuck you, Shannon. Go ahead, James.
But I feel like Samuel Jackson at the end of Pulp Fiction. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily so. I think he was no-selling your joke, like the Road Warriors no-selled in wrestling in the 80s. That's an obscure reference, but that's what I'm known for, baby.
Deep cut.
Fair enough. And then before we even get into this, I was literally just on the phone with Jamie Josta, who told me to say hello to you. I know you're a big fan of Hatebreed as well.
And always.
His show was on my network, and we were just talking, and I told him it was about an interview. He's like, oh, my God, please tell him I said hi.
Love that, dude. Definitely one of those people I don't see or talk to enough, but that dude's awesome. Love
Hatebreed. Super cool. All right, so now you're on the show to talk about the 8th album's coming out called Baptized, coming out June 4th. I got a bunch of questions for that, but what just dropped, I think, a week or two ago, you did a collaboration with a former guest on this show who I love, Hiro the Hero. How did that – let's start with that. How did that song Legendary come about? And then we'll get into some Atreyu stuff.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, we've known Hiro for some years now. I've kind of had an eye on his career for – probably 7-8 years. And we finally got to kind of hang a bit this 2 summers ago on Disrupt Tour. And, you know, our band was just took a liking to him and watched his show all the time. And the dude's just freaking energetic as all hell. So we got along great. And when it came time, he was putting together a bunch of songs. And it's funny because our guitar players actually co-wrote like the original iteration of this song, like a long time ago. And then it turned into Legendary. I think maybe that might have been partially why he asked me to do it. But just kind of came naturally. Went in the studio, laid down the vocals, and here we are.
You know, what's funny is that I met him initially with, I think Shannon was on the boat. I'm not sure, I get confused, but I host Shiprocked. Yeah. And that's where I met him. I'm shocked you guys have never been on Shiprocked.
We did once. We did once.
Oh yeah, my God. How do I not remember that? That's crazy.
It's easy to not remember most of Shiprocked.
Yeah, well, that's true. Did we meet on Shiprocked? I don't think we did. I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah, we did the year, it was 2 years ago. It was like Seven Dust, Papa Roach, Nothing More.
Oh, okay.
Asking Alexandria. I know I Prevail was on it. But yeah, so we did that year. But
I don't know how I missed that. That's weird. I somehow missed it. You remember, Shannon?
Yeah, that's where I remember the name of the band from Shiprock.
Okay, yeah. That's funny. How do I just shows you that I was drinking too much. You should have remembered me because I'm such a charming host on the show. And just like you're calling yourself Legendary in a song, I'm calling myself a heartthrob. Let's just move on, right?
Fair usually enough. I should have known the presence of a heartthrob when I saw it. being so familiar with that myself as well.
There it is.
All right, so a couple of things I heard right at the, I do my research, my due diligence. You had a 1-2 punch at the end of 2020, start of 21, that would break anybody. You got COVID bad. And then, correct me if I'm wrong here, you somehow, like a big dumb idiot, fell on a baby gate, cut your arm open, hurt your little daughter, hurt herself too. All happened in one big fell swoop. Am I right, Brandon?
You're all right. Everything is correct. The one slight, I guess, better detail is that COVID didn't get me too bad, which I'm stoked on. I got a pretty mild case of that. Still had to be by myself in a room and do Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve through a glass door with my kids, which was a beating. But the day I tested negative for COVID, my wife's dad had a house that he Airbnbs, like a beach house in Central California. So I was like, I've been in my fucking bedroom for 2 weeks. Let's get the fuck out of here. I need to change scenery. So we go to the beach house. We're there for maybe like 2 or 3 hours. I go downstairs, cook some food, come back up with a plate of food in one hand and an empty wine glass. I'll tell you the first glass of wine I had that day. One glass of wine.
Is it how many days out of quarantine is this?
Same day.
Oh, he's
same day. I'm like, yay. And then I go step over the baby gate, catch my foot, trip, fall on wine glass. And now I have that big old scar.
And you had to get like real surgery, like not like just I cut myself.
No. I completely severed my ulnar nerve, my artery, severed like a bunch of nerves. It looked like someone hit me with a machete. I have my whole arm was just about from there to there was just wide open. Had emergency surgery like right away. Still have like a weird, I do therapy twice a week still. I got a weird like pinky still.
Can you, I mean, I know you're not really drumming as much anymore for a Trey at all, but I know you're a drummer by trade. Can you hold drumsticks? No problem.
I can. My grip is not as good with my left hand yet as it was, but I can hold. The worst part is playing guitar because I write music all the time. And I'm always in the studio writing. So that's been a little bit of the challenges. Instead of sitting with a guitar and showing something what I'm talking about, I have to like mouth it like a fucking idiot and you know, like that whole thing. But that's been the bigger challenge. But I'm on the mend and hoping for no more accidents. Then it's funny. My daughter got cut too. So I fell. Obviously, I think I just started yelling, oh my God. And then so she came to see what happened. Her first words out of her mouth was, oh no, daddy, you spilled your juice. Well, she thought wine was all over the floor. It was not wine.
It was
thankfully she thinks that was wine. Yeah. And then she stepped in the glass that I then broke, got 4 stitches in her own foot.
Jesus.
But she's a champ. I think she handled it better than me. She was like crying, but also singing like songs from Frozen while getting stitches.
Hey, like her and I have that in common. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm a little down.
Yeah, so she's a champ. So I went through the ringer, but I think I'm done. I think I'm done with my injuries for a while, and I'm taking things. I wrap myself in bubble wrap and sage every day, and it's working so good. It's been so good so far.
Please knock on wood also real quick. Please, thank you.
All the wood.
So, and now, and when did that actually happen? Like, what are we talking about? Beginning of 2021?
I got COVID on December 22nd. It was like essentially the second is when I got.
Oh my God.
Okay.
what a great way to start the year.
Super awesome. Good. It was like, fuck 2020, man. Next year is where it's at. And it was like, oh shit.
Oh, man.
Oh my God.
But we're good now. Everything's good. I'm still here talking to you guys today, so that's all I can ask for.
At least you don't live in that house all the time, so you don't have to like walk by there and have PTSD from when you hurt yourself.
No, they actually just sold it, so I'm like, goodbye.
They left the blood there. It's like it's crime scene house.
They just don't tell anybody. Yeah. Why was there? We blacklit this kitchen. There's blood everywhere. Nothing. Nothing.
All right, so I want to get into the new record, and then I want to go back to some of the old school stuff that I've heard about over the years about you. But the eighth album, Baptized, coming out June 4th. The first song I heard that I'm going to be honest with you, dude, was singing that hook all day, was Warrior with Travis Barker. Another interesting collab. Yeah. How did that one come about?
So Travis is kind of just in the, we did a record with producer John Feldman. He's the third. This is the third record we've done with John.
Right, so but those that don't know, like Godsmack, Korn, he's written Tate, like he's exactly. been around forever. Yeah,
that dude is a legend. He's kind of become a bit of our sixth member, so to speak. So Travis is kind of in and out of John's studio all the time, anyways, because they work so much together. So he's done a bunch of the Blink records. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of projects together. So he's kind of like just around. And
did he start Goldfinger? Is that where he started? John?
Yeah, that's John's band.
All right, cool.
Which is again just another notch on the legendary belt. So we did Warrior, and we wanted kind of that, that high school football halftime, marching band energy on it. And I was never in the marching band long enough to learn anything. Like that kind of thing, you have to be authentic or you can sniff it from a mile away. I was like, Travis crushes this. Like, why don't we see if he's interested? And awesomely enough, he was just like, fuck yeah. Came in and did it. And it was a super weird opportunity where I had to like sit there and be on the other side of the window. And Travis Barker's like, hey man, was that good? And I'm like, yeah, but can you try this though? It's like, yeah, but he's a fucking legend, man. He's super professional and so good at what he does that it was a joy. It was
and awesome. For those that have not seen the video, you at least assume it looks like you're getting the shit kicked out of you throughout the whole video. Not much of a warrior, more like I guess the warrior that can get the beat and keep getting back up. I guess that's the flip of it that you're talking about.
It's the end. Yeah, it's at the end where I finally get up. I've actually been pitching that to my band to both of my bands for years, and they're always like no, and then finally they're like okay fine, and I think they realized how fun it would be to beat the shit out of me. And it's funny because obviously there's some like movie magic, like obviously those bottles are sugar glass. Mm-hmm. But like sugar glass still breaks into a bunch of little pieces of sugar that cut you a bunch of times on your bald mm-hmm. head. And then also like those punches and kicks are real as hell. Like they beat the shit.
Really?
Out of me
they
that
really
day.
Did do that.
I mean, there's a few shots of that are like really good lands. And like, those are just the ones that looked best on camera, So like at the beginning of the day, I kept having to be like, all right, guys, like harder, like you have to really get me or else this is going to look dumb. But Jamie, your head looks
honestly,
like you're going to explode.
I assumed it was all,
yo, man, you're
was
working
all movie
stiff.
Magic.
You're working stiff in a music video. That's a fucking real man.
I'm trying, bro. I was trying to be authentic out here. But
goddamn Ric Flair over here. Yeah. Holy shit. Woo. Working stiff, goddamn it.
Yeah, it worked out, though.
I imagine it was one take in that. You couldn't start over without being beat up. You have cuts and shit.
It was about seven or eight takes through of just like carnage. And then there was a couple of like, more planned stuff, but I mean, it was just brutality. I didn't feel good the next day. And we've actually filmed three music videos in 2 days and did a photo shoot also. So that obviously had to be last on the list. So it was like two grueling days of just like, 13, 14 hour days ended with me getting the shit beat out of me for like an hour and a half.
Go ahead, James.
But I'm just saying, if you're this tough, I mean, if you could do that, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Jake Paul, dog. You should be the next one to take on Jake Paul. Let's fucking go, baby. I'll be in your corner.
I would make that fucking dude so sad.
Yo, let's make some fucking cash, dog.
I'm in. Make the call.
Let's go.
There's a theory that it's fake, James. There's a theory that the whole fight was fixed. Do you believe that or don't believe that?
It looked like a pretty whack punch to knock the fool out.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, so people say that for years. My grandpa went to the grave saying that Sonny Liston didn't get knocked down by Muhammad Ali. It was like his last fucking words.
Yeah, let's put the word out. I'll make that check. I'll make that dude real sad.
So, Brandon, is it fair to assume, Brandon, you have a lot of fighting experience or that you've been in fights or you've been hit before? Because I would never decide, hey, guys, let's all beat the shit out of me for a video.
No, that's the thing. I actually have very little fight experience because no one ever wants to fight me. Much like yourself. What do you say? You're 6'5"?
6'5", yeah. You're a big dude, too. I know that.
I'm 6'3", at the time, currently like 270. Mm-hmm. I've always just been a big-ass dude. I've always just stopped fights. No one ever wants
Shannon
to.
Is getting slowly and slowly more attracted to you as this is going. Big dude, fights. That's all she needs to hear.
No one ever gives me the opportunity. They always just stop what they're doing when I raise my voice. I'm not saying anything. I'm not a tough guy. I'm a wuss, but like it does hurt when I punch you.
I tell you, what's funny is that I have relied on my size my entire life. I've never been in a fight, but I've always acted like I wanted to fight, but internally shitting my pants. 100%. And no one has ever called me on it.
Yeah, they won't because you're too big.
Yeah. I'm a big dude. Yeah. But now I'm older. I'm 51 now. So I look, I'm getting ready to fall apart.
That's what I'm saying. This could be good. I mean, I'm 37. What's Jake Paul? Like 31, 32?
Yeah, let's do it.
He's way younger. He's in way better shape. Like, just give me a shot.
And I think you'll win because you do how you just answered is how real tough guys answer. It's like, I'm not tough, but everyone who's tough doesn't say they're tough. They say cryptic shit. They say I'm not tough.
And there's no hidden message there.
He's 24.
Yeah, he's 24. Oh my God, he's 24, dude.
So he has like a over a decade of youth advantage on me.
Right, you got this, Papa.
Imagine Brandon for a second how smooth and sexy his penis is.
Probably nice. Got a lot less miles on it, you know. Yeah.
What timing you said that when he started flexing the muscle. Costello timing.
All right, before we go any further, man, we love this sponsor. They've been on board for like a year plus. It is Yolk Kratom. Love Yolk Kratom. If you go to YolkKratom.com, it's very simple. If you like Kratom, don't have to think about it. It is the $60 kilo. It's literally a third of the price from some places. Some are $180, $200. You don't know where it's gone. You don't know where it's come from. You don't know how long it's been sitting in the fucking gas station. Just garbage. But if you go to YolkKratom.com, you're going to get a $60 kilo. And not only that, the good feeling you get from knowing that you're supporting sponsors that support the show and the entire network. It is YolkKratom.com. They are curated quality Kratom direct to you at wholesale prices. YolkKratom.com, $60 a kilo. All right, let's get back into it.
All right, so now I'm going to take a little bit of Brandon memory lane here. This is the stuff I found out that I find interesting. And again, it's like partly like, is it true or not? Whatever you mentioned, the high school band a little bit. So I read that you lied to join a high school band so you could learn how to play drums, even though you didn't know how to play drums, and you never really learned in the band anyway.
Yeah, fact. I moved to Southern California when I was like 12, and I was in band. Like I was in like school band in when I lived up north. But I played saxophone because my dad played saxophone. It was just like, and I fucking hated it. I was not interested at all. And
not
I would
a
always
big
just
Kenny G fan.
No, unfortunately not. I would just go over to the drums all day and get in trouble for being like, Brandon, that's not your section. And like, I would borrow kids' sticks and take them home. And then I came to middle school and it was like, oh, I'm going to be in band again. Cause like, to me, it was like band was one of those things you could do that like, wasn't really school. So I was like, yeah, let me do that for 30 minutes of the day. And it was just like, yeah, I play drums. And luckily was able to like fake it enough at the tryout. But then I kind of got the shaft because they're like, big kid, you get the bass drum. It's like, damn it. So I say I didn't learn anything. I was just like beating on a bass drum. Like I wasn't learning like cool shit. And then by the time I got to high school, I was too into like being like in punk rock bands and going to shows to even think about being in marching band.
Okay. So fair enough. So that's good to know. But then this is again, which I'd like to know if it's true. I'm going to say perhaps the worst band name in history. Your first band was called the SS Minnow. Really?
Yeah. We had a couple. Dude, it was originally Toxical, like a popsicle, but toxic. We're in seventh grade.
How controversial.
Yeah. Then we were SS Minnow. And then we were bottom line, and we went through a bunch of every pretty much shitty seventh grade band name you could think of. But SS Minnow was one of them.
That's pretty bad. Were you a big Gilligan's Island fan or
yeah,
what?
We're just dumb. We're just stupid, stupid kids. We had a song about Forrest Gump.
Did you not do a Gilligan's Island cover of the theme song?
We weren't even smart enough to put two and two together.
That's great. That's nice. And then eventually it was Retribution that became Atreyu, right?
Yes.
And then this part I find interesting. This is pretty well documented. You started out as the drummer and then became the singer, right? So the question is, I look at drummers usually as they've chosen the drums because they don't want to be in the front. And now you are choosing to go in the front. How difficult was that transition?
It was a gradual one in my mind. I love playing drums, but like, and I started playing drums cause it like I was attracted to playing drums, but, even like very soon in, I wanted to start playing guitar. I started singing. And once I started singing, I really started focusing more on singing than anything else, mm-hmm. just because it was more intriguing to me just as far as like writing songs and doing stuff. Like you kind of realize that like, you can't come into a room and be like, guys, I got an idea. Check this out. And just start playing drums. Like no one wants that. And it doesn't work. So I got more into the other side of music. And obviously I had some experience singing in my other band, Hell or High Water, right. that I did for, you know, a number of years. And then more specifically in Atreyu, the summer of 2019, we went to Europe. We had to do like a festival tour in Europe. And like 4 days or something before we went, our previous singer had injured his back and was like, I can't go. My doctor said I can't fly, can't do anything. At that point, like if we would have canceled, you're talking like tens of thousands of dollars down the fucking shitter. And like now we have no European touring this cycle. So we were like, we have to go. How can we figure this out? So I called my drummer of Hell or High Water, who had literally, as I called him, was pulling up to his house from a tour he was already on. Was like, do you want to go to Europe in 3 days? Like, can you learn 14 songs and we'll practice once in the UK? And he is like, yeah, okay. So we went out and did it. So we had some experience, like feeling what the energy was on stage with our current lineup, which was a weird kind of sense of prophecy. But like when it came time to make the decisions and go in the direction we did, like we had already known what it felt like. You know what I mean? So it was kind of a little bit of a bonus, but like it was a bit of a gradual thing. So it wasn't as much of a shock to the system. Kind of jumping up front.
That's cool. I mean, I don't know. First of all, I have no musical ability. You're one of these people that you can play multiple instruments and sing. I've always found that fascinating that your brain is wired to be involved with music. You know, I mean, I love listening to music, but I'm a horrible guitarist at best. And that's about it.
It's the one thing I got.
That's good. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't do cars. I can't do home repairs. I'm not good at I'm a horrible reader. I can cook and I can create music.
By the way, that's something I've been wanting to do for a while on the show is I can cook as well. And my other co-host, Jay, we've talked about this, to do a throwdown where we all have to cook the same thing, but you can't tell anybody who made what because they're just going to pick the guy they like more, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so we made three dishes. And they have to just say which one they like more and why with no input with who's is who's.
I back that.
Yeah. So if you want to do that with us, we'll throw down. That would be fun.
I'm interested. I love.
So then basically I read this also, which I really like. When you first became Atreyu and you send out a demo to every record company in the planet and then basically got zero response.
Zero.
Right. And then you retool it and just send out an EP. And that's where Atreyu becomes Atreyu technically. Right.
Yeah. Which it makes sense when you go back and listen to the tunes, you're like, okay. Like our first like demo thing we did was fucking garbage. Like now I think it's cool. Cause I'm part of it, but you're like, this is pretty fucking garbage. But then we literally got nothing. And it was a last ditch. Like we're going to make another EP, send it out. And then if this doesn't get any bites, like maybe we shift gears. At the same time, like myself and our guitar player were in like a pop punk band. So like we were like, okay, maybe we shift gears and spend more time on other avenues. Mm-hmm. That EP got picked up by like a very small record label in North Carolina. And then very shortly after we got our first like real record deal. Right.
And I like the story that you said somewhere where when you realized, oh, this is a thing, is you went somewhere to perform. And this is before things could be shared on the internet so easily. And the crowd is just singing one of your songs. You're like, how the fuck do you know the songs already?
Yeah, that was always an interesting feeling at the beginning, because like I said, you had to like go to a record store and buy an album, or like a friend had to burn you a CD or something to like know who the fuck people were. There's no social media. There was no nothing. So it was always kind of mind blowing when that existed.
Yeah. And then one of the things that's always been unique to me about Atreyu is you kind of could work on a lot of different levels. Like it could be a harder tour, a lighter tour. I mean, evident by like you guys toured with, you were in Ozfest, you were in Warped Tour, you toured with Lamb of God, but also toured with the Used. Like you really do. I would say you're kind of like, and there's a, maybe not, I don't necessarily mean musically, but you look at the band Queensryche from back in the day, right? They could work on a metal tour. They could work on a pop tour. They could work on like a tour with Dream Theater. They could work varied because they had such a catalog of different music and different sounds. You guys are kind of like that as well.
For sure. And I think it was kind of almost just by accident. Like we just have such varied influence as a band musically too, that like you can hear it in the songs. And we've kind of like never lived by the rule of like genre. It's always like all of our records, like you have like almost pop songs with guitars, and then you have songs that most pop fans would be like horrified of on the same album. You know what I mean? Like, so that's always sort of benefited us, where like you said, we've been able to kind of straddle the line of multiple genres, and it's been to our benefit for sure.
Yeah, and when Long Live came out, which is now goddamn like 6 years ago or something like that, that was to me, you know, like the heaviest record you guys have put out. And it was your comeback record. So in a way it's like, hey, we're back. Look how fucking ballsy we are. But then your follow-ups have been a little bit more, I don't want to say commercial, but
yeah, no, that's friendly. I'm fine with both of those words. I mean, I think that Long Live, I mean, like you said, we went on hiatus for 4 years or so. Long Live is the album we made when we came back. And it's like the audible version of four dudes that haven't written aggressive music in 4 years, like five dudes that hasn't made aggressive music in 4 years.
It's like it was guy just who like gets to have sex for the first time in 6 months. And he just, let's just do this.
Yes, exactly. Like it was just like fucking punch in the face of just like built up aggression. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then after, it's funny, like, because on that album cycle, touring that album cycle and like really kind of reconnecting with our fans, you start to realize what songs are going off most live, where the numbers lie of like what's people's favorite album. Mm-hmm. And then for us being like, what's our favorite version of this band? And it's Lead Sales Paper Anchor, which is kind of like, we missed making those. It's like, people always throw on the term like being a sellout, like you sold out if you get big. But it was like, oh, like we didn't make radio songs and we missed that. Like, are we trying to be too heavy? Are we trying to go like shunning the part that like we think we don't, you know what I mean? Like we wanted radio hits. We wanted big rock songs. That's what we love. So that's kind of what the next album was. And, you know, it'll continue, like I said, to always straddle that line. There's going to be songs that, you know, you could play your grandmother and she'd be pleased with, but there's also songs that like would kill your grandmother via heart attack.
By the way, great title for a song, Kill Your Grandmother. I really think that should,
in parentheses, via heart attack.
Yeah. fair enough. So now I guess it's pretty well documented now, but like the Delicate issue, obviously longtime co-singer, however you want to call it, Alex left. Is it end of 2020? Is that roughly when he left?
Yeah, to the public, it was mid-end 2020. Started kind of with us happening first quarter of 2020.
Right. And what seemed to me was when it was announced, everybody seemed to be like, hey, let's handle this like gentlemen. Let's handle this as, hey, good luck with your career. Thanks for what you did with us. We're going to go on, blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, Alex shit on you guys a little bit, right? And I could be wrong. My facts are a little wrong, but he shit on you guys a little bit. You're still trying to take the high road. And the weirdest thing about it is the song he shit on, he also co-wrote. It's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah. I think that a separation, you know, the best part that I like to, way that I like to say our band situation went is that our band parted ways. We parted ways with him. Everyone says when he left, and we parted ways. It was not just a one-sided thing. And I think that people just, with things that you have so much history with, there's bound to be emotional moments. and there's bound to be a desire to shit on somebody. You know, I'll refer related to much like, you know, a pigeon, I'm sure takes fucking great aim at that shiny dome below them on the street. But you say he shit on us or he tried to, it's like that pigeon went to shit on our head and it just landed next to us on the curb and we were unscathed. It's like, we still don't have a desire to like cause drama or like, we don't need the clicks. Mm-hmm. We don't need the shit. Like you look at our band, the history of our band, we're not like controversial dudes. There's no arrests on tour or bar fights or like sex scandals, you know, like we're dudes that like to drink and enjoy occasional drugs and we play music and have a good time. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's no big, like Motley Crue thing about us.
Right. And even so your songs in general, none of them are like about murder or anything like that. You know, they're not controversial lyrics at all.
So if like for better or worse, we're just not that band. And so that's kind of where we're still at it. A lot of fans have an unfortunate sense of entitlement, but it's like, if me and my wife got divorced and she was a big public figure, you know, I'd be like, oh, we separated and that's it. You know, please respect our privacy. I wouldn't be like, this fucking bitch did this on May 22nd of 1990. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same situation. It's just with five dudes, you know? So we just don't have the desire to go that way. And unfortunately not everyone feels that way, which is out of our control. So really we're kind of just at the point where it's like, let the music talk. We don't need to say nothing. Let's just
That moves into Baptized with the question I want to ask, because I know that Alex had written some of the songs with you guys. I think four or five of them, right?
I think like eight of them.
Okay, eight of them. They're on the record, right? Yeah. So now you know this record as it's coming out. You've dropped a few singles already, but because it's the first sans Alex, it's going to be looked under a microscope in a way that probably in our wake wasn't looked at, you know? Yeah. So does that mean that before you went in production, like, hey guys, I know we're ready to record this record, but let's just go through the songs one more time and make sure we're all on the, like, was there an extra little bit of massaging of the songs to make sure that these are going to be fucking great, great. And like, no one can say, like, you look at AC/DC when they came out with Back in Black, like, yes, we all miss Bon Scott, but man, that fucking record very quickly sold Brian Johnson as, even though you're always been in the band, but you get what I'm saying.
Of course. I think that, you know, the only kind of massaging really was me having to go back and kind of re-record a lot of vocals. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, having to be sort of reminded, because you're used to hearing things a certain way, especially when you're creating something, that being reminded to like, hey, you sing this like you want to sing it, not how it was sang before.
Right.
So that was the only thing of, you know, kind of being, you know, cognizant of like, oh, how would I do this? You know, so, and I think we're all very confident with it. I mean, the songs were great. The songs are great. That didn't change. Like his involvement in writing the songs didn't make them worse. Like the songs are awesome. The songs he was a part of were awesome. There's parts that he wrote and lyrics he wrote that are fantastic. That's why we're keeping them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is even further. It's like, it's not like we just erased you. You know what I mean? Like you're still going to make a bunch of money off of this. Like we still are very happy with your contribution. So it's like one of those things where you just had to go in and just make sure that it was all up to par. And it very much is. And we wrote more songs on our own, just the four of us. Mm-hmm. And those are crazy too. There's a song called Underrated that we wrote. And it's kind of awesome because that's the first song we wrote, just the four of us. And it's arguably some of the heaviest shit we've ever done. But even still, you said the microscope thing. It's like people are still like, fucking pussies is fucking dad rock. And I'm like, are we listening to the fucking same song here?
Like, by the way, if you really had balls, because you say you're ready to fight Jake Paul. Alex, just so you know, James, he referred to the song Save Us that he co-wrote with them as fake heavy, right? So if you had balls on the next record, have a song called Fake Heavy.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas I have in my brain, but I don't know if most of them will ever come. Yeah,
then you're just starting a, like, that's that Van Halen OU812 Eat 'Em and Smile nonsense that you don't really need to get into.
Exactly. There's a lot of things I would love, but they wouldn't come across. I have this brilliant idea to do a, because everyone is always like, with our band, the quintessential hater comment is, I like their old shit. Or like, oh, I like their old shit. And so I had an idea when frickin' disastrous Orange Lord was in office, to do it, to make a Treyu metalcore again hat. But then we realized that like any sort of association was not good there.
Right.
But I still thought it was funny in like making a funny poke, but we didn't do it. A lot of ideas in here, not meant to actually be printed on things.
Well, that guy, James.
Yo, when you walk down to the ring to take on Jake Paul, you're wearing that hat, dog. You're wearing that hat and your new single, Kick Your Grandma's going to be blasting on the way.
I'm going to have one that says, Make Jake Paul Tough Again.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, come on. This is simpatico. Come on.
By the way, James, this is what leads me into this nicely, is that Brandon felt like the reason why they're not more popular, he touched on this a little bit, that he's too nice of a guy. They don't ever do anything controversial. So I'm saying now, use this platform right here.
Yeah.
Let's start some shit.
Yeah.
Let's do it. You're already throwing down a Jake Paul. So let's like look to camera, talk some shit to Jake Paul.
You know what I fucking hate? Jake Paul. Like that?
Like, yeah, I'll play Jake Paul. I'll play Jake Paul. I'll react too.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
All right.
Yo, motherfucker. I know you don't know who I am and probably don't listen to my band, but I'm straight gonna take you down. One punch. You're dead, fool. I'm horrible at talking shit.
No, I think it was great. Yeah. It was wonderful. I was going to go with what, bitch? I just feel like that would be his brand.
You know what's funny is that, James, as playing Jake Paul, your response was, I think that was great. That was wonderful. That's an awful. Who would say that?
Well, no, I broke character. I was most theatrical, class of 96, Chaparral High School, Ralph. I don't know if you fucking know that about me, man.
I'm imagining this situation happening in person, like, motherfucker, you're dead. And then the person's like, that's great. That's wonderful.
That's really good. Hey, yeah, you did a good stuff there. That was good. I'm totally sold.
Great stuff, man.
I hate to break it to you guys. Off camera, I guarantee you, they go behind and go, good job. We'll get another $2 million.
Yeah, well, in wrestling, sure, but not in a street fight. Like, this is going to be a brawl.
Yeah, I'm in.
He's throwing down.
Heavy gloves.
Yo, this is going to be great. This is a good choice for both of us.
I touched on something in an interview that I could not agree more with, which is the song is king. Like, that's all that really matters. And there are so many bands that, like, you know, to me, I've said this in my whole life, there's two kinds of music. There's good and bad. And in any genre, in any style, I can find something that I like, or it's really just awful. You know, that's really
it. Yeah, and that's subjective, but it's the truth. Like, there's reasons, and I say this all the time because it's like real, recognized, real. It's like there's certain bands that are gigantic, and you might be like, "Fuck that band," but you're like, they're doing something right. There's a reason why they either know their demographic or they just know, you know what I mean? Like, they think like their demographic thinks whatever it is. But yeah, Feldman's been huge in that, where it's like, song is king, and that doesn't matter. Like, that's why, like, you look at our record, Lead Sells Paper Anchor. The album closes with essentially a country song, like a pop country song. There's pedal steel, acoustic guitars. Like, it's whatever. It's a good song. So our fans were just like, no one said a word. Right. No one said a word. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it doesn't matter.
Like, a good song.
If Atreyu put out the dopest K-pop song anyone would ever heard, no one would care that it was K-pop. They'd just be like, this is a cool new Atreyu song.
Well, if you did something really offensive, like you all renamed yourselves something Korean, that might make it a little bit more of a
star. I'm all about expanding. I'm like about that expanding, you know?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Speaking of which, are there artists that people would be surprised, holy shit, Brandon loves this band or this group or this singer?
I like a lot of everything. Like, I love Anderson .Paak. I love like a lot of pop music. I love a lot of electronic music. You know, I just, it ranges. It's funny because like in the past 15 years of my life, I still listen to a lot of metal and hardcore and stuff like that, but it's like, it's not like it's even if not outweighed by all of the rest. You know?
Well, that's good. I think that the newest comment that I see on Atreyu videos, more so than what you said before about I like their old shit better, is, oh, Brandon's just trying to make this the new Hell or High Water. You see that a lot too, I'm sure.
If I wanted to make a new Hell or High Water record, I'll just call just the guys from Hell or High Water.
Right.
It's funny because like people have this weird perception of like what a band is and how big a band is. It's like, I don't know if you noticed, but like Hell or High Water had a bunch of songs on the radio too.
Yeah.
I could just go do that also if I wanted.
Right. I can tell you as someone who run this network here called Gas Digital. And I think I told you Jamie's on the network. Every time I read a comment online about why they think something happened or why they think it's never right. I don't think once has it been even close to right.
No, it never is.
We live in. I also watched you do a Twitch stream with Jacoby, who we love from Papa Roach. You were doing what was the story with a 12-hour Twitch stream? What was the story in that?
So I think much like a lot of artists during the pandemic, I started streaming on Twitch as kind of like a means to just have that connection still turned into a very good thing for me while I was unemployed, essentially, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So my 1 year anniversary on Twitch was a few weeks back. So to celebrate, I did a 12-hour Twitch stream, which switched from noon to midnight. I actually ended up going to like a little after one, but a part of my Twitch stream, I do a segment called B-Sal presents What Else. It's like a podcast essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have guests on this and that. So that was a lot of the day. And I had Jacoby, I had Ronnie Radke, Jairus Johnson. I had all the Atreides dudes on at one point, all the Hell or High Water guys at one point, a bunch of just like random friends and guests. And Jacoby's the homie, man. He's been on a couple times and he's just like such a fucking ball of energy. He's such a good conversation. Like every time you talk
to him. He's a great dude. He really is a good dude. Yeah. What's your game of choice on Twitch?
I actually don't. I don't game at all. It's all music. So it's I either do, like I said, kind of like the podcast format, or I call it B-Sal karaoke. Fans can use like their channel points to request any song from my catalog, or they can use what I call the Rick Bomb. It's like a Rick Astley like soundbite to request me to sing any song, period,
mm-hmm.
which I've done anything from like Christina Aguilera to like Veggie Tales to fucking Papa Roach, whatever. So it's fun, but it's all music based.
Speaking of which, I saw you do the acoustic Theft from Death Grip, and that was great.
Thank you.
It really upsets me because we tried to get you to perform a song during this and we were told no.
We're not prepared yet. we'll come back. We'll come back and do that. I would have done it by myself and just sat here and done a song for you, but this hand is
wonky as fuck. Fair enough. Yeah. Now I'll allow it. I was upset, Brandon, but now I'll allow it.
But we'll come back and we'll do like, you know, get a couple of the other guys involved. We'll get something real special.
Yeah, then that leads me very nicely to the next question, which obviously the world was put on hold. Baptized, I'm sure at one point there was a discussion, do we hold this or do we let it out? And then you decided to let it out. You're already, I think, three singles in at this point. So do you have some festival dates on? Like, what is there? Or is it just like right now, I believe all the dates are hopeful dates. Nothing is solidified, right?
We have a couple festivals that have been locked for a while that seem like they're happening, that are about to announce. And then we're kind of starting to put together our own dates as well. Like you said, it's hopeful. Everything's hopeful until it happens, I think, at this point. But there was definitely those moments we did actually hold. Like, it was supposed to come out earlier than June, but we kind of were holding on. And their bass player kind of gave us a truth bomb at us and was like, okay, point number one, if this was our last album, fine, everything has to be perfect. We're waiting, but it's not. We're far from done. Point two, like, what if like some new COVID strain comes in fucking July that makes your fucking hands fall off and everyone goes back into lockdown and we don't play shows till 2024? Are we waiting until then to put out music? And it was like, no, like, are your fans are still there.
Right.
Like, people still want to listen. So we're just kind of trying to get, you know, always just trying to get as creative as possible with that connection. And it just seemed like the right way to go. Plus, things were starting to kind of seem like late summer or fall was going to be where things were going to start coming back. So to put an album out in June just gives it a little bit of time to breathe and marinate with people and then get out and play some shows.
It's great. I mean, I've apparently missed you guys on Shiprock, which I don't understand how that happened. But they always have me hosting. Like, I'm up like one year I was on stage for 10 hours. So it just could be that I was on stage while you guys were playing.
We played against Seven Dust one night and then played against someone else. Ridiculous. The other night. Okay, but so they might have had you like announcing or doing some other shit like that. But it was fun. You missed it. The indoor show, we all dressed up like sailors.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I miss that?
It was very hunky. Very hunky.
And also, I know you guys didn't do any of the like event stuff because I always host like the beach wars or the beer pongs or one of those things. You didn't do that stuff either.
Yeah, we kind of like barely got off the boat. We just like got off and ate some food and that was it. And I didn't you don't know what to do unless somebody tells you. You know what I mean? Like, you never like, I didn't know about a ton of this shit. Like, a bunch of the Papa Roach dudes went to some like rad, like private beach thing, whatever. And I'm like, I didn't know that was a fucking thing. Like, you don't know until I need a redo, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they would bring you guys back on. I mean, that'd be awesome, right?
Yeah.
We are in theory doing it again next year. James, you did your motion that makes me think you have a question.
No, I just get excited. I really like the idea of dressing like a sailor. I will. next time you're on the show, and if I'm rotated into guest host, I'll dress as a goddamn sailor for you, my dude.
The SS like Minnow, buddy. The SS Minnow. Let's
exactly. It's life is all cyclical, you know. It all comes back.
And then the thing you brought up, which is interesting, and leads into the last thing, the last little topic here before we do the first, is I heard you say very clearly. Someone asked if you had a piece of advice to give a new band, what would you say? And you said merch deals fuck bands, right? And then. I know now you guys are doing merch in-house, and you did this very cool limited edition tie-dye shirts, and you all individually tie-dyed them. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it was kind of a marketing firework that I had in my brain. Obviously, we have an old song, Lip Gloss in Black. The lyrics are Live, Love, Burn, Die, to put the spin on the D-Y-E. And we started the Live, Love, Burn, Die edition. So we did the first run, and it was just 100 shirts. Hand tie-dyed by us. We went to the dye house that we use for all of our other stuff. Did it totally like professional and multiple different like styles of tie-dye. I had no idea. I'd never tied in a shirt. I'm not a hippie. So it was fun. It was super fun. And they sold out in like 10 minutes. It was just good. Like most of them were gone. Like we put them up and it was like gone. So I think people were stoked. And I think it's cool to like really get involved with a piece of merchandise where it's like the fan can be like, oh, like, every shirt too comes with a hang tag. I don't know why I did this. I don't know why it's hanging from the armpit, but it comes with a hang tag. And the ones that we dyed, we actually signed the hang tag. So it's like, you know exactly who dyed your shirt. I think that's just cool. Like fucking Dan Jacobs signed or dyed this shirt. Right. It's like autograph plus, you know,
I like that idea a lot. Cause we have a merch company in house here as well. And I was like, damn, that's a fucking good idea. Why did we not think of that idea?
It takes a little bit of effort, but I mean, again, things that most bands can't even do because they have no control over things like our merch company that we have. It's our guitar player owns it and we all kind of work within it. But, you know, we're all about one, not motherfucking bands out of all of their money. Mm-hmm. And two, like getting creative and doing cool things that most companies kind of probably would not even let you access.
Fair enough. All right, let's do this, Shannon. Let's hit the first.
The first time.
The name of the show, as you know, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. And we ask every single guest since the dawn of time their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, meaning the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition, and ideally a band we're going to know, not some local band no one's ever heard of.
It just depends on how deep you get.
What I said to Shannon last week. Wow.
Shaboing. My first show was this band, like a ska punk band called the Voodoo Glow Skulls. They're known. Okay. They're not like a local band. They tour.
I don't know them, but James seems to know them. So I'll say cool.
I'm from out west, man. It was huge in the 90s, dog.
Exactly. So they played a skate park outdoors. And I went with my brother. My brother convinced my mom to let me go to the show. I think it was 13, 12 maybe. And it was outdoor. I got like heat stroke and circle pitted my little heart out all day. And it was so fun. And I've been going to shows ever since.
How old were you at the time?
I think it was 13.
30. So were you already playing music yet or no?
Yeah, I was already horribly, but yes.
Because I guess 13 is high school. So you might have been in high school band already or something.
I was still junior high. I was in like eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Adorable little Brandon. That's cute. Okay. So now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't the first drug you ever did.
Weed was the first drug I ever did.
Okay, so then the one after that.
Mushrooms? Mushrooms.
How old were you?
I was older. I was like mid-20s.
And was it a pleasurable experience?
The fucking best. I was at a friend's house. We went to a friend's house and kind of planned it all out. Did him during the day. He had this like epic house with this beautiful view of Los Angeles. And there's a bunch of people there. And we freaking went to Mars and watched the sunset. And it was fucking great. My wife saw her little cup with Disney characters, and they were all telling her to come hang out. And she was just loving it.
Wow.
It was a beautiful thing. And I still love eating that wonderful drug to this day.
That's still that. So mushrooms is one of your go-tos. That's the drug that you believe.
I'm not into like, you know, I'm not into freaking cocaine or anything of that shit. But I do like to see cool shit.
All right. So mushrooms and weed. Is that it for you these days? Or is there ayahuasca or DMT or anything like that?
Weed's rare, but yeah, I'd say mushrooms and weed.
All right, fair enough. Okay, and then end with the first time you had sex, but it's kind of a two-parter, but we'll start with the first time you had sex.
This is super romantic because it was with my now wife of almost 14 years. We both lost the V-card to each other.
Really?
And this is the
James's
best part.
James' look of disbelief, and Shannon's shedding a tear. Continue.
Yep.
That part of my disbelief is looking. I've never seen that sincerity and love out of Shannon. This is fucking Shannon, you're the greatest dude. Can I say this? I don't want to interrupt. I'm only 6 years older than you. I want you to be my son. I want to adopt you. Jesus Christ!
I love it. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. And then it was funny because I was like, "Hey, I still live with my mom at the time." I was like, "Hey, mom, can you just make sure that my room is clean when I come home?" She never did that. It was always like, "Do your own shit." I was like, I'm having a friend over tonight. Can you just make sure my room is clean? And not only was my room clean, but there was like a candle lit, and like it was like spotless. It smelled good. I think she knew. I think she was like, I need to make
sure.
She
put a condom on the bed for you.
Make sure my son gets some action. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
So what did you listen to? Can I ask that? I feel like you listened to something very sweet, like the theme from Over the Top. Meet me halfway.
I was super.
Across the sky.
I was in my super goth phase at the moment, so I was listening to Him. We put on Him.
Oh, yeah. Love Him.
But that's love making music, if you ask me.
Do you know that I was, I think, and I don't know for sure, but if not the first, maybe one of the first people to interview Villavallo in the United States.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm back on my old radio show, which is cool.
Huge fan.
So then is it fair to assume that you stayed with her the whole time, or did you revisit each other?
We stayed together the whole time.
So you've never been with another woman?
No. The beginning was non-exclusive.
Okay, fair enough.
But very, very few.
Wow, that's impressive.
And let me tell you guys, I know what everyone's gonna be thinking. They'd be like, man, you're a sucker, you really, whatever. The lady knows what she's doing. I'm also, a very, very, way, very
who cares
happy
if
man.
You're happy? Who gives a shit? There's no right or wrong to that. I don't know.
No,
but
no, my wife's the best.
That's great. It's nice to hear. And so that basically kind of ruins the second part of this question, because we had Gilby Clark on from Guns N' Roses, and he coined this term, which he called it rock star sex, meaning the first time you got laid because you are who you are. You're like, oh yeah, this girl is fucking me because of this. But I don't know if that follows for you because you've been with your wife for so long. So that may not apply.
Yeah, it doesn't really apply.
Fair enough. I'll allow that. That's fair. Did you say unfortunately or the?
No, not at all. Not unfortunately at all. Yeah,
I know.
Stop trying to incriminate my new son, Ralph, God damn it, and ruining this wonderful fucking pillar of life in my family.
And I know you have a daughter. Do you have more than one daughter?
I got two. Yeah, I have a 4-year-old and an almost 3-year-old.
That's pretty wild. That's great. You seem like a real, like, I go back to what you said in another interview, that you're good dudes. That's the problem. You're not controversial enough.
We're just good dudes making music, man, and our hope is that people like it. I don't want to have to make you concerned or think I'm cool because I did something stupid for you to like me.
Right.
I just want you to think my music's cool.
Could you do me a favor? Could you yell at me like you're really mad at this interview? Like, I'm not answering that question, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, you fucking piece of shit. I'm fucking out.
Whoa.
That's why I should have done for the Jake Paul. Damn it.
I think the money in that fight is you being who you are. In wrestling, they call it a white meat baby face. You're a white meat baby face. Just go with this. I want you to hand out cookies to homeless kids on the way to the ring.
I'll be smiling the whole thing. Every time I get him a fucking good punch, I'll be like, oh, dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me help you up. Let me help you up before you continue.
That looked like it hurt, man. I'm sorry.
All right, the eighth and newest album, Baptized, comes out June 4th. Three singles so far, Save Us, Warrior, Underrated. We add a song every week. We'll add Underrated to the SDR Show playlist this week. Awesome. You're at the Brandon Saller on Instagram, at Atreyu, I believe it is, for everything Atreyu, right?
Atreyu official for most.
Atreyu official, sorry. Yeah. And now we're going to go around the room and do our plugs, unless I left anything out for you, Brandon. Also, obviously, Hell or High Water is also can be found everywhere online as well. But if you find the Brandon Saller, pretty much the links to everything else is there.
If you find the Brandon Saller on Instagram and click the little link in the bio, it takes you to everywhere you need to know, including my Twitch.
I will go around the room and we'll start with Shannon because James is better at promoting himself. Go, Shannon.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
Do you believe in ghosts, Brandon?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Come on now. You're just trying to make Shannon fall in love with you. That's all that's happening. I'm not going to ask you for a ghost story, but we'll go to James. James, your plugs, go.
I don't know if I can top Shannon, to be honest. I have no confidence anymore. But okay, the James Madden on Instagram. Also have a podcast called The Commissioner Comedy. We have guests now. It's fucking wild. You're still going to get motivated. The inside of comedy, the heart, the soul, the passion. Yeah. Also, check out my wonderful single, Peanut Allergy, that has been ridiculed on an episode you guys haven't heard yet, or maybe whatever. Fine. It's a good goddamn me with a band screaming a comedy joke. Fuck yeah. All right.
I like it.
And eventually Check Spot's coming out. I'm with a new record label and we're recording more material for it. And it's me doing stand-up question and answer with a drunk audience while they pay their bills because I'm fucking dope. See, I got my confidence back. God damn it. Because
by the way,
my new
Brandon,
son.
We had there's this big like music guy. His name's Zaid Wolf. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but
yeah.
So he came on the show. I don't know if this episode has been released yet. My timing might be off. But so he produces bands and listens to bands for a living. So we asked him to critique James's comedy rock song. And James was not happy with it, I feel. I think that James got defensive.
You were kind of leading if this was court, you're leading the witness and shit a little bit.
I was definitely leading the witness.
Yeah. He was about to compliment a sound effect, and you're like, it should have turned it off. And then we get to the chorus, and everyone fucking had a good time, didn't they?
I love it. Son of a bitch.
All right, just follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And my other show, Good Sugar, about health and wellness, comes out every Monday on iTunes. But, dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. I predicted it would be a blast, and you're a very cool dude. And I'm holding you to... You guys need to come in studio at some point and perform live when the world allows it.
100%. We'll do so if for the next 10 episodes of your show that you do film or record, you need to bring up the me and Jake Paul fight.
Oh, 100%. By the way, we're calling the episode Brandon Challenges Jake Paul. And we'll clip that out for sure. We're going to make it happen.
Yes.
Get that heat, baby.
Fuck yeah, I'm in.
All right, we'll see you next week on the SDR show. Peace.
Peace, everybody.
Thank you, dude. That was a lot of fun.
Of course. Yeah, that was great, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, be good, buddy. Oh, I didn't give Ani her fucking plug. Sorry, Ani. God damn it.
Okay, don't worry about
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, Ani.
It happens.
Yeah, I like your little blue dress, too. Look how sweet you look.
Thanks. It's a shirt.
Wonderful. Thanks, it's a shirt.
I like to emasculate men and say to men, nice top. Guys don't like if you call it a top.
Hilarious. Every time we post a new merch item, one of my friends comments, one of the dudes for Story of the Year, comments in the section. Cute tops.
Yeah. It's such a good way to emasculate a dude.
That's great.
All right, Shannon, I'll see you in 2 hours, I guess it is, right? Something like that. 3 hours. 3 hours.
6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
See everybody. Thanks for having me,
buddy.
From
right, first of all, thank you for making it through the whole show. But second of all, more importantly, there's so many great shows on the network that maybe you're not aware of. Maybe you're so focused on how great I am that you don't even look past anything but me and that other guy. What's his name? Jay? Is that his name? Fat little shit boy, that guy? You know, this is the two of us. But there's 20 other great shows on the network, at least 20, maybe 21. One of them is from our own goddamn producer, Shannon. And it's been on the show, on the network for like 2 years already, maybe more.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and it is called The Thing Is. Oh, goddamn it. That's fine. It's the very simple thing. They say it's about dating, fighting, and ghosts. And if you're a fan of the show, every time we wrap up with a guest, I always ask them, almost all the time, didn't want to do it tonight because I'm pretty sure I know the answer for Harley. Absolutely yes, and she's one of them. If you believe in dating, fighting, and ghosts. And she's actually pilfered some great guests from the SDR show. Like the one that recently I would say was the most interesting was the dude from The Almighty and Thin Lizzy, yeah,
Ricky Warwick.
Great episode. It was really just a fun show. It is Shannon and Maddie, who used to be part of the network, a little more involved. And he was on some show for
Hammer
a while.
Fisting.
Hammer Fisting for a while. But it is just the thing is we're going to play a clip of it right now. God damn it. Here's the clip from The Thing Is.
This is the part of the show we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences.
Do you believe in ghosts at all?
Oh my God. Is it a ghost?
No.
Never.
And then all of a sudden I hear, buff, 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 buff. And I walk to the bar. The fucking ice maker was dropping ice.
And I don't believe it. My whole family believes this stuff hardcore, and I mock them openly. Something, or I don't know, whatever. I felt what feels like someone doing this to my hand that was out of my. The covers were over my head.
I still can't explain them. One time, I just saw a glowing older woman.
No, ghosts don't exist, Shannon. Let me make this very clear. There's nothing, okay. There's no such thing as supernatural. There's no UFOs. There's no ghosts. There's no Jesus or Santa Claus. A being was standing above her, and it made her body lift into the air and then start spinning around in circles like crazy fast, like crazy fast.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.